Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call talks with the people in Charlottesville and Albemarle County who are making a difference. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Our guest today to talk about the Small Business Association of the U.S. government, Carl Knobloch. He's the district director. I don't know why. Did I have one too many cough drops to start my day? He is the district director of the U.S. Small Business Administration, from the Virginia office down in Richmond, correct?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Rick. I want to clarify something. It's the Small Business Administration.
Yeah.
I always tell people, association, that's where you pay the dues.
Yes. Well, I have that in small print, but not in large print somewhere. Again, one too many cough drops to start the day. We also have Brady Berman. He's the CEO of Punch Out To Go.
Good morning, Rick. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, except for a flaky tongue. And that's a business in our area that has been assisted by the Small Business Administration.
Absolutely. We're really excited to be here. Really excited to talk about our journey coming to Charlottesville, relocating our company from Cape Charles, and telling the story how the SBA has really helped Punch Out To Go drive for global success.
8 years.
8 years today. Happy anniversary to Punch Out To Go.
Amazing.
That's right.
There's a lot of businesses that can't make it one or two, I believe. And Carl, you can verify that the vast majority of businesses pass away within 1 or 2 years.
You're absolutely correct that half the businesses do disappear, and another half in 5 years go away.
That's amazing to make it 8 years. Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So we will be talking about the Small Business Administration with Carl Knobloch and the business of Punch Out To Go. And we'll find out what that is and how the Small Business Administration helped them with Brady Berman, who's the CEO of Punch Out To Go, throughout the hour. So let's start with some of the basic questions. What is the key purpose of the SBA?
You know, a lot of people sit here and always think it's about to help small business. The original intent of it was to actually create jobs when it came into existence and back in 1953. And what I tell people really what SBA is the life cycle of a business. So whether you're a pre-startup, you have an idea, a startup, you're trying to get something going, or you're in growth mode like Punch To Go. Or you want to get out of the business and you want to leave it. We help through the whole cycle of life. And lots of people also assume that we only do mom and pop stores. We don't. We do everything from high tech to low tech. So, example, Under Armour, we did them. Apple, we did them. We assisted these different companies throughout their history. Now they're big companies.
Yeah, I not to jump too far away from that basic question, but I did a little check on some of the more successful businesses that the SBA has worked with, and you go back and famous businesses that started with the SBA. Under Armour in 1996, the founder started in his grandmother's basement. Chipotle in 1993, and Apple Computers were all assisted by the Small Business Administration.
Correct.
That's amazing. Was it all with this stereotype of, hi, I'm a small business, and can you please give me some money to get me started?
You know, I laugh about that because most of the time when we do get the phone call, it is, I need money. And then the next question is, okay, how much? I don't know. How much can you give me? And I go, doesn't quite work like that. So we do a lot of education. No, lots of times it's people are just needing business assistance. And we have those with our resource partners, which we'll be talking about later on. So it depends on what that business actually needs, we can actually provide. And that's what makes it really exciting, because each business that comes in brings something different that we're trying to assist them with and get them to grow themselves and be successful and create jobs.
We are talking about the Small Business Administration. That is Carl Knobloch. He's from the Virginia District Office down in Richmond.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for driving up today.
Oh, it's a short hop. This is actually luxury. It's beautiful outside. Can't complain.
We also have with us Brady Berman. He's the CEO of Punch Out To Go. So you moved from Cape Charles up to Charlottesville. I have to ask the basic question of, did the SBA help with the move?
No. They came on board when we moved to Charlottesville. Were you
working out of your grandmother's basement?
It's a pretty close story to that. So I guess if you don't mind, I'll take us back a little journey here. So 20 years ago, I started a web development and marketing company headquartered in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Decided to move to Cape Charles, Virginia. Beautiful place to live. Eastern Shore. Hello to all of our Eastern Shore friends. But really, you know, we came up with this kind of far-fetched idea about a decade ago that we needed to kind of improve how commerce transacts, right? So being in Cape Charles, Virginia, I think population 400 or so, a little tough to attract talent in Cape Charles. They'd have to come across the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel and, you know, pay the VIG every day. So we decided to move up to Charlottesville, Virginia. In my web development days, I had a customer here, actually, in Charlottesville, a company called Commonwealth Assisted Living. Nothing to do with what we're doing today, but the CEO is a good friend, a good mentor of mine, and he said, hey, how about Charlottesville? About a month later, jumped and moved. But, yeah, it was started a room over the garage, not quite the basement, but very similar. And here today in Charlottesville, I'm very excited to be here.
You just had windows.
Yes.
Is the difference.
I had a window. And it was hot up there. The air conditioning didn't really work real well. You know, long, sweatful days there, 18, 20-hour days, trying to get things going and you know, make a difference in the world.
That's Brady Berman. He's the CEO of Punch Out To Go, which I'm still curious to what Punch Out To Go is as a business.
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
Well,
just kidding.
I guess that's the easy way to stay CEO is if you don't tell anyone.
That's right. No.
And just say, here, I'm writing and signing your check, so don't worry about it.
Yep. So I'll give you a little story. So the first company that actually came to us that needed this type of transactional type of this ability to do this type of punch-out stuff was a small mom-and-pop hardware company in Richmond, Virginia. The company was called Harper Hardware. Mm-hmm. Their largest customer was the Commonwealth of Virginia. The Commonwealth of Virginia leverages a procurement system called Ariba. Anybody who may do any type of business with this Commonwealth of Virginia knows it as EVA, EVA, Electronic Virginia. So we did this type of project for Harper Hardware, and it was brutal. It took us 6 months, 9 months to try to facilitate what the Commonwealth of Virginia wanted. And the Commonwealth of Virginia wanted an easy way for end users from within the Commonwealth of Virginia to purchase from Harper Hardware, right? And in doing so, that means that we have to have this really kind of complex, tight integration between how those that are creating purchase orders need to transact with Harper Hardware. So being in our web development days, we were building the e-commerce application for Harper Hardware. And they had this particular need. So again, we did this type of integration. They did very well through that relationship. And we continued to do these types of integrations kind of bespoke for different types of companies. And it was 6 months, 9 months. It was this huge monumental task. Today, companies are still faced with this 6 months, 9 months ability. We're doing these things now in hours, which is pretty amazing. So in essence, you know, what we do really is that we are strictly focused on B2B. We're 100% focused on helping companies leverage their own infrastructure. And we have two sides of our business. We have the buy side part of our business, which would be like the Commonwealth of Virginia. We have our sell side business, which is the likes of like Harper Hardware, helping those two organizations be able to transact. So Punch Out is just kind of one of the pieces of the puzzle. but it provides this kind of Amazon-style experience, kind of a consumer-like experience for end users from within corporations or the government or different entities that leverage these procurement systems to be able to easily transact and do business with their vendors across, you know, the landscape of whatever they're needing to purchase. So in short, and trying to, you know, eliminate as much complexity as possible, it's really this kind of B2B digitization of transactional components between commerce and procurement.
When you talk about B2B, you mean business to business.
Business to business. That's exactly right.
One business to another business.
Yes.
As opposed to a customer to a business buying directly.
Yep.
If I wanted to go, I can't purchase directly from Amazon just because they're the largest, so that's why I use that.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So like that's your B2C type of mindset, so business to consumer, right? So just like in your day-to-days on how you want to purchase products, it's really easy. If you want to buy a whatever, it's easy for you to just Google, figure out what you want to buy, and purchase that item. Now, when you start thinking about procurement and organizations that are leveraging procurement, there's a lot of controls. Right, you have to purchase from approved vendors. Right, you have to make sure that these vendors are part of the supply chain, you know, element. You know, you have to make sure that the prices are negotiated, that the offering is correct, and that most importantly, the end users from within an organization can easily transact with those types of vendors that they have to do business with. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
Again, Brady Berman here talking about his business, Punch Out to Go, and how it's changed, how it's moved, how it's altered, how it's gotten away from the room over the garage and actually gotten into a real building.
That's
I'm
right.
Assuming.
Yeah, it is a real building right over here on Berkmar, and you know, we bought the building a couple of years ago. We're outgrowing it. We need space. knock to any of the realtors on the radio today, but we're looking for additional space now.
All right. We also have Carl Knobloch here. He's from the Small Business Administration, and talking about how the SBA assists businesses in a variety of ways. So can you talk about how the SBA helps a business such as Punch Out to Go? We don't have to get specific, but certainly Punch Out to Go has grown from a concept back before it became Punch Out to Go. Brady was talking about it was originally in Cape Charles. That's not even what it was. Then he started it, moved to Charlottesville, and now 8 years later, it's outgrown the space that it's currently in. So that seems like early on in our conversation, you mentioned the SBA is much more than, we don't just lend money, how much do I need, you know, stereotype. So seems like I could make marks on a line of all the different places that the Small Business Administration could help?
Great question. And using Punch to Go as the example, okay, as he was working in his garage and creating a new concept, and that's what we always talk about business. You have to be able to adapt and change and diversify yourself. If you're not able to do that, you eventually go under because the world's always constantly changing, which they did a great job. I commend them for what they've done. But in that early stages when they were trying to get the concept to work, they could have actually gotten research money from SBA. It's called Small Business Innovation Research money to actually help develop this because it would also benefit the federal government with this concept. Once that was done, if proof of concept worked and everything, and to give you an idea how that works, like the proof of concept when they were trying to get it to work, that was $150,000 they could have got for 6 months. And then if it proved out that it looks like it's going to work, they could have got $1 million for 2 years to actually get it to market. And everybody benefits at that time.
Brady, did you do that?
No, we didn't. I think we weren't probably right ready for it when we first started with them. And we just grew monumentally over sales. So we're a bootstrapped organization. But we did leverage the SBA for a lot of various types of programs that did help us kind of make more informed decisions that I can speak to maybe in just a little while.
Okay. Carl, back to you.
And great point what he talked about, bootstrap. That's typically how every small business does. And when I had my small business, it was bootstrap. You figure out creative ways because you don't have the financial resources that you go with it. Now that next step, he's sitting there and he has to make a business decision where to relocate. At that time, typically it's finances to make the move. And for the move to happen, people have to sit here and say, okay, what do you actually do? And because it's not something they can touch, it's kind of really hard for lenders to grasp the concept. And so it's kind of like they have to work on a business plan, which our resource partners, like Small Business Development Center here in Charlottesville.
When you say not something they can touch, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
But because it's not pallets of inventory and several pieces of large machinery, is that what you mean?
Correct. Collateral. Collateral is something that's hard that if they had this, the business went under, they could sell. And that's where they struggle when we talk about softwares and things like that.
Okay.
It's a hard concept. The other thing is that he could also look at, with that move, what they call our SBIC program, Small Business Innovation, which is actually venture capitalists who get a one-to-one match. So they get $1 from the government, they put in $1. And that's basically to help small businesses. That's a program we have. The other thing is he could have literally said, you know, if I needed financing, he could go on our website and use Lender Match, where you just put in your story. And the lenders are looking at it, and if they want to talk to you further, they contact you and work the deal that way. So that's from the finance piece. The resource partners, as I talked about, they're there to help develop the business plan that these entities are going to ask for. The other aspect dealing with that, as he came over here and he talked earlier about globally growing, once again, we have the resources to help with our STEP program that is funded through Virginia to help them move forward and then also to expand in other federal agencies. And that's the other thing we do. We connect to other federal agencies that have programs available to assist small businesses that lots of times small businesses don't know anything about.
That's amazing. Again, we are talking about the Small Business Administration with Carl Noblock. He's the district director down in the district office of Richmond. Brady Berman, he's the CEO of Punch Out To Go, a fascinating business, software, business to business.
Platform as a service, and that's really where things are going today. If you think about how the digitization is happening all around us and how people are transacting in their day-to-days as a consumer or as a business, you know, this platform as a service type of concept, you know, lives on in so many different verticals. I think maybe talking a little bit about the SBA, you know, when we relocated to Charlottesville back in 2013, shortly thereafter, we were introduced to the Central Virginia SBDC, who approached us to learn more about what we were doing, right? So they wanted to understand, you know, how we go to market, who we serve, how we serve, and seeing our vision and how we serve and who we are serving, they immediately got to work. We were introduced to the Innovation Commercialization Assistance Program, ICAP. Mm-hmm. For a SWOT analysis with Shine Systems and Technology right here in Charlottesville.
A SWOT analysis? A
SWOT analysis, right?
And what's so that?
The measurements of strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. All right? So it was a subject matter expert panel. I think I was probably the most nervous person in the whole wide world. I go into this room and there's, you know, I don't know, probably a dozen or so people from different walks of life, those that have built large technology companies and so forth. And hopefully I could tell more of that story here in the upcoming hour.
Oh, I'm sure I will come back to that after the break.
Yeah, and I'd like to expand on that with the Shine Systems because they actually also do government contracting.
Oh, yes. I want to know more about the SWOT analysis after the break. Well, also, one of the things I during my research is that the Small Business Administration – people talk about capital and getting loans, but there's also counseling, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And I want to talk about that a little bit as well. So we'll be back. Hang tight. We are talking about the Small Business Administration with Brady Berman from the Richmond District Office. Carl Noblat from the Richmond District Office. Brady Berman drove through Richmond to get to Charlottesville where he moved his business. Hang tight. And we're back, Sunday morning wake-up call, talking about the Small Business Administration with Carl Noblat, Brady Berman. Brady, you're CEO of Punch Out To Go. You were telling us about SWOT analysis.
Yeah, SWOT analysis. It sounds high-tech, right? You know, but every company really needs a SWOT analysis.
Tell us again, what does that stand for?
So it's the measurement of strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Right. So when you think about the strengths, what does the company possess? What can they do? How can they go to market? Weaknesses, right? Where do they fall short? Right. Do they need a better CEO? Do they need more technology? Do they need more infrastructure? A lot of things go into these opportunities. How can you expand the reach of your product? Right. How can you reach broader audiences globally? And threats, who can come in and take you out? Right. So I am very, very honored that we actually scored the highest they've ever scored any company in all of the years as a B+, right? So they grade you in the SWOT analysis, right? And nobody's ever received an A. Nobody's ever received a B+. Punch Out To Go received an B+, which we're very, very honored to have that. And I'd love to do another one with them to see where we're at now. Maybe we've gone down or gone up. I don't know, but I'm thinking up. You know, but over and beyond the kind of the SWOT analysis, you know, the Commonwealth of Virginia has been a great asset to the company. Though we didn't need capital, we probably wouldn't have known what to do with it back in 2013. We met weekly for the better part of a year with accounting people and marketing people and business people to help us kind of guide us to where we are today, right? So today, Punch Out To Go is a company that supports a little over 750 organizations in 45 countries. Some of the largest companies in the world leverage us, as well as the small mom and pops and everything in between, right? So in 2014, we were actually Central Virginia's SBDC Company of the Year, Success Story of the Year, a testament to the great work the SBA offered us. But they didn't really stop after that year either. They kept putting us into different programs. Right. So through our relationship with the SBDC and the SBA and so forth, they navigated us to the Valet program, another program that's great within the Commonwealth of Virginia that helps companies build more export. Right. Granted, we're not exporting product. We're exporting technology and services. And in short, like we've gone and we did due diligence in other countries, other regions, other areas. We've actually leveraged, like George Mason University did a study for us, mm-hmm. and other, you know, MCAP and mm-hmm. many others that have worked with us throughout the years. So we've done these kind of trade mission group scenarios, if you will, where we go to London and we meet with partners, generally speaking, we probably already have, maybe some new as well. But it's a very well kind of guided tour in business. And here recently, we actually did this again in Australia. It's a massive growth opportunity for this Punch Out To Go. So through that program, they've helped us to grow internationally. 40% of our business today is international, right? Supporting companies around the world to help connect those mission critical dots between commerce and procurement activities. And it happens all around us, right? I was joking earlier at the break, we don't really have an elevator speech. It's really hard. It's business to business, right? But it's complex integrations. And we see it all day, every day. We just don't know. You go into the bank and you get a lollipop. Chances are it came through our technology. We support the vendor who sells the lollipop to BB&T, right? Or sells the lollipop to Bank of America. Same vendor, probably. Sit down at the desk. Chances are the furniture came through our technology, not the furniture itself, but the transactions, right? So we support a company like Herman Miller, or Hahn Group. These are large commercial, you know, distributors and manufacturers of furniture. You go to the hospital, you get blood work done, something of, you know, you get some type of services. You go clean your hands with some Ecolab product. Chances are they've procured all those products, and a lot of that has transacted through Punch Out To Go. It's pretty interesting stuff. Again, it happens all around us.
Wow. So, Carl, you do contracting, and I found that to be interesting. Is this part, and it says, contracting, the U.S. government is required by law to provide opportunities to small businesses. Is this part of the assistants to punch out to go? I mean, do you sit down to a business that you're assisting, such as Punch Out to Go and others, and say, here you go, let me set you up over here, let me get you started, let me introduce you to someone?
And it's a really good question, because a lot, you know, really in Virginia, government contracting is lifeblood. So when the federal government hiccups with funding, all of Virginia really hurts, because we are so dependent on it.
Right. When they take those, when they have those arguments, and they take 15 shut down for 15 days or 60 days or whatever
correct.
It may be.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's a ripple effect. And but the thing is, it's the largest purchaser in the world, at roughly about $500 billion. There's 23% of that dollars has to be allocated to small business at a minimum. Some agencies go way above that. But the thing is that with this, yes, we're here to assist companies to market to different federal agencies, because everybody always wants to try to go to the Department of Defense because they have the largest pot of gold, as we say. But there's a lot of small agencies that you could be very successful at and do very well. And so the tool that Punch Out to Go is, like right now I'm looking at, because we're having new regulations put in place with cybersecurity because of top secret stuff and that with the different agencies and that. And transactions are always happening, and you're always trying to find where the weak point is. So a tool that Punch Out to Go is developing is something that also can be looked at from a cybersecurity standpoint, that's providing an extra layer of protection for these entities, B2Bs. And B2B is also could be B2G, B to government. And so that's how this all works. But we literally determine what the business entity is, what they're trying to accomplish, to guide them to what federal agencies may be interested in them and things like that. And there's actually a group called the Procurement Technical Assistance Centers that basically do that free of charge to assist them and do, helps them do the market research, which agencies might be the best place to find opportunity.
What other, I mean, I think many people would recognize or have the stereotype of the basic business who may be working with government and purchasing. You know, there's, and here in this case, Punch Out to Go now would come to mind because you have to have your purchase orders and do that sort of thing. Obviously, everyone thinks about computers, and now we know about military parts and et cetera. But what sort of businesses might not come to mind for that are small businesses that the SBA would help?
You know, lots of times people come in, so I always tell people, we had a hotel chain come in and say, I want to do business with the government. And I said, okay, but what do you do? And he says, I'm a hotel. And I said, where are you located at? And he tells me, and I says, I'm sorry, you know, the government just doesn't do work in that area, so it's not going to be a benefit for you to go pursue that. These are other angles we should look at to help you, like how to understand the tourism, where tourism is going, and how you can better connect to increase your room rates and things like that for people. One of the ironic stories is I had a company come to me, contacted me, that had basically closed its doors and wanted me to assist them to do work with the federal government because the CEO was a disabled veteran, and they get preference treatment to be looked at closer when government contracting opportunities come along. And so I went up to look at their operation. It gave me the tour and everything, and what they did is they made automated equipment for the automotive industry. And it was like, I'm sorry, the government doesn't buy that. Only the prime contractors buy that. And they were putting all their hopes to hire all the people back, and they saw no option now because that was their last hope. And so I gave a recommendation. A lot of people don't understand the government does with an example of kitting. And kitting is like, you know, you put things in a plastic bag, and you sit here and say, okay, these parts here go into this main unit, and that's a kit. you know. And so there's automotive kits. There's all these ones that the federal government has. And I recommended to the company, pursue kitting. And so they eventually did. And to give you an idea of a market size, they landed with a prime contractor. And after a year, they were doing $20 million just in kitting.
Wow.
So it's a big thing in the government that lots of times people don't understand, just like RFID tagging and packaging. If you look at the documents, because how things have to be packaged for the government, because you don't know where it's going in the world, it's basically like a Bible. And so you have to really understand it. And there's people, that's all they do. They just literally do packaging for companies.
Again, we are talking about the Small Business Administration, Carl Knobloch. He's the district director down in the Richmond area. Brady Berman's here. He's the CEO of Punch Out To Go, a business who has been helped by the SBA and successful now, 8th anniversary here today.
That's right.
Has joined us, and congratulations. I also want to take a moment and thank Martin Short from the SBA, who's helped put this show together and found our two guests and put them in the room. Thanks to Martin.
Yes, Martin's a great asset to our operation.
Thanks to Martin. One of the things is the SBA has four primary functions, correct? Mm. Capital, right?
Correct.
Counseling, contracting, and disaster. Yes. So we've talked a little bit about capital. Won't say we won't get to it again. We've talked a little bit about contracting. I've mentioned counseling.
Correct.
Plenty to talk about there. But we haven't really talked about disaster.
And it's, you know, one thing that people are shocked about when they hear disaster for the SBA, they only think about SBA doing small businesses. We are actually the disaster arm of the federal government to offer low-interest loans. So not only do we do small businesses, we also do large businesses. We do the nonprofits. We also do residents. We do renters. So we do everyone through that operation when a disaster hits an area. And it can be twofold. One, it can be a presidential declaration, like a flood hits an area, or the wildfires, earthquake. That get that presidential declaration, we come in with FEMA to assist. If it's something that's smaller scale that the president will not recognize, so let's just use like an apartment complex has a fire and 10 people get displaced because they lost everything because of the fire. They can ask SBA to come in and we'll do low interest loans for the renters and things like that to help them recover.
How about if a business is going down? I mean, because I'm looking at this and I'm like, capital is the start, counseling is, and contracting are somewhere in the, you know, life of the business, and disaster could possibly be the death of the business.
And you're absolutely right, because and when a disaster hits an area, 40% of the small business don't open their doors again. And within a year, another 40% don't exist. The numbers are huge when the disaster takes out small business. And one of the reasons is, like when I had one of my my manufacturing operation, I literally had for my disaster plan as, if I lost my whole facility, what do I do? And you can't put a facility up right away because we worked in polymers. And so we literally had arrangements with our competitors, how they would actually keep my operation going until I could get myself back online again. And we had the same arrangement with them. So you find ways to keep yourself going, but a lot of businesses don't do that contingency planning when a disaster potentially could hit. And that's what puts them under. But if they planned ahead, they have the chance to succeed.
But does the SBA... I mean, you know, you mentioned stepping in as an arm of the government to assist. Is for it sounded like a weather or a fire, et cetera. Are we talking about helping a company go down in any way, or was your is your arm just to help someone return, like the Phoenix version?
No, it's to return to the capacity they want to return at. And we'll even assist with doing mitigation, so like maybe flood improvements, those type things. But what you talk about, like a company's going down naturally, or it's an external source. So use the example of 9/11. 9/11 basically impacted everything across the nation. And when 9/11 happened, actually SBA was providing loans throughout basically the whole country that had a tie to 9/11. And so it was unbelievable how big that was, trying to help companies that were basically being taken down because of what transpired with 9/11.
How did companies outside of the stricken areas in New York and Washington, D.C. and Pennsylvania, how were those affected?
The example is using Punch2Go. Okay, they sell a tool and a vibe. Okay, if my primary customer is inside the New York area and I'm supplying to that and I'm based in Indiana, all of a sudden I've lost that customer and I cannot connect, and it's because of the incident of 9/11. So I've had an economic impact because of how that transpired. So I need assistance there. And then as they struggle, they can't use Punch2Go service anymore. So now it trickles down to Punch2Go. Because of the number of customers they lost. So this is how that transcends out and spiderwebs out throughout the whole process. So it's a trickle effect.
So, thankfully, I think the Punch2Go sits in a really unique position, and even down economies or disasters, if anything, I think that it kind of strengthens our model, because we are ultimately making it easier for companies to transact. We're lowering the cost to serve, right? Lowering the cost to procure goods, because this mindset of agnostic abilities to connect procurement and commerce activities.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're talking about this in the spider web effect. And Brady, your business is international, correct?
Yes, sir.
So let's take a second and talk about the virus that's going around. Yeah. And if you read the news, what's being said is, don't get too concerned, but make sure that you're prepared. You know, go to the store, buy your needed, you know, supplies. Make sure you have lots of canned goods. Make sure you have plenty of your, you know, medicines, et cetera. Is your business concerned?
No, we're not. We're not concerned, because ultimately business is going to continue to need to happen, right? And the types of businesses that we are representing in this space, some of the smaller ones may have some issues, but the types of businesses that we're representing, from like a GE Healthcare or a Lowe's or, you know, or Roche, Big Pharma, Medical Group, there's going to be impacts, of course, but it's not going to impact Punch2Go to the point we're going to need some type of disaster relief fund, I don't think, from the SBA.
Do you expect to notice a surge, whether it's slight or large, in purchasing in the next couple months?
I'm sure. Absolutely.
And then maybe a dip in purchases afterwards, because people will have
surplus.
Right. Bought a lot in preparation, and then, you know, have a lot already on hand afterwards.
Right. So I think in a medical device area, or, you know, those areas are going to actually, I think, see more types of transactions as, you know, hopefully the coronavirus does go away, like the president says. But, you know, I think there'll be an influx of different various types of transactions, and then there may be some type of surplus. So transactions will, I think, eventually balance out. At the end of the day, but ultimately we will see various types of commodities across different verticals, I think, being procured in a more expedited manner, maybe now versus months ago.
All right. Let's take our second break, and we'll be right back to talk a little bit more about the Small Business Administration. Hang tight. All right. Back with Carl Knobloch from the SBA and Brady Berman from his own business, Punch2Go, as we talk about the Small Business Administration here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Thanks for being with us again today. Carl, A couple questions for you about the SBA. You know, I do my homework before the shows and some things on Google. How do you confirm fairness in gender and race and ethnicity when you work with small businesses?
Let me see if I understood your question correctly. You're basically asking how those different groups get serviced in the context of if what they're looking for?
Well, you know, depending on different administrations in our government, some of them and some parts of them say Small Business Administration doesn't, at different times over the last decades, not today, have said the SBA didn't fairly do their job, right? So all I'm asking is, how does the SBA confirm that you are, if Brady picked up the phone and said, I would like to speak with someone from the SBA, no different than if he did the same thing to a realtor or a banker, that it's been proven that realtors and bankers could tell by his tone, by his dialect, that he was an African-American man, that they may say, you don't have the funds to live in that area, you know, that they would direct him to a certain area of town to buy a house or loan him money, et cetera. So how does the Small Business Administration confirm fairness when offering counseling, when offering capital, et cetera, as a part of the government?
Yeah, I might can just help out a little bit there. So we do work with a lot of the small businesses out there. There's all types of fantastic programs that the government has, whether it's SWAM, what have you, that I'm sure he'll talk about. But there's great programs that allow various types of people, various walks of life, serving various types of verticals, to do more with the government entities. The government entities do have to allocate money towards small business spend, do have to spend, you know, with particular types of vendors out there that have these different types of statuses, whether it's SWAM or what have you.
I just feel like it's part of my job, although I don't get paid for doing this, to ask these sorts of questions, you know, without being mean about it, to say, because somebody out there is listening going, you know, why didn't he ask that? So I asked that in as polite a manner as I can.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's not a problem. So let's focus, because you're talking about government contracting. Government contracting, there are standard sets. So 3% of the goals have to go to veterans, disabled veterans. 3% has to go to hub zones, which are economically distressed areas that have been identified. And 5% has to go to women. And 5% has to go to what they call socially, economically disadvantaged businesses. And then 23% goes to small businesses. So that's set up from a government contracting, and that's measured every year. Every agency's measured on that to see, and the last 2 years they've hit that target. The most one they struggle with is hub zone, to hit the numbers with, because of where they're located, because the areas are located in rural areas to very distressed urban areas. Trying to find businesses in those localities is difficult. And that's what they work on with this concept, trying to get companies to locate there to create opportunities. When you talk from the lending standpoint, we basically, the lending institutions that use our program, because we're only a guarantor, they have to keep records of how the percentages break out. And we keep track of those, that information's readily available to the public, FOIA information. that they can see what percentage of African Americans have gotten it, Hispanics, service disabled veteran, women dealing with it through each of our different loan programs. So that is trackable and seeable, and you can see it by congressional district, you can see it by locality. All those numbers are there. The one thing that lots of times people talk about lending, the challenge with lending is the first question it's always asked, and that's all of us, even when we're trying to get a home, what's your credit score? And if your credit score is not there, it doesn't matter. You know, that's just how it works. The credit score is your backbone. And if the credit score doesn't meet the minimum criteria for that particular lending institution, no deal happens. Even the state has a number. The federal government has a number that if you don't hit that credit score, I can't give you a loan. And it's just the way it's set up because it's looking at can you pay it back. And when we look at these things. When you're talking counseling, once again, those are they're measured, what type of clients are seeing. We always try to, from our district office, because we're kind of out every place, we go into different communities and work with them. Right now, Monday night, we have a HBCU event. So we work with the HBCUs. We work with the...
Which HBCU?
Historically Black Universities and Colleges.
Okay.
And we also sit here and work with the associations and nonprofits like Hispanic, African-American Chambers, Japanese, Asian. So we basically go hit those organizations to make sure that they are aware of our programs and what's really available and what challenges they may be facing.
How does the I read that the Small Business Administration costs taxpayers zero, but you're guaranteeing loans.
Right. We charge fees to the lending institution, and also the borrower has a fee structure that's worked into it. That way, we don't have to ask the federal government to give us money every year to keep the program going. So to give you an example, like USDA, Department of Agriculture, they have a loan program. And it's a program that it's dependent on how much the government gives it. And with the money it gets every year, that's where they spend it out, where they're dependent on the government giving to it. Ours is basically the only thing that limits us is if we don't have a high default rate. If our default rate stays down, those fees pay, basically we can give out, lend out more money.
Brady, I'm curious as to 8 years at Punch Out to Go. Again, congratulations. Brady Berman, who's the CEO. We also have Carl Knobloch with us, who was answering those previous questions. He's at the Richmond office for the Small Business Administration. I'm assuming that you're not going to stay flat. Flat sales, right? You're happy where you are.
Yeah, so we've experienced double to triple digit growth year over year since our inception. Moving here from Cape Charles, three of us and a dog from Cape Charles. You know, now we have
how much work does a dog do?
The dog actually does quite a bit if you think about it. Maybe we'll save that for another show. Mm-hmm. But we have, you know, and it really SBA has been really helpful for us. So three people and a dog, right? Don't think much of salaries. We were a startup company back then. Now we have 32. Employees here in the U.S., several others internationally. We are pumping millions and millions of dollars back into the economy through salaries, taxes, and so forth. Haven't needed a dime from the SBA, but have used the resources and the programs that were made available to us to help us grow. And we're looking to continue to grow. We're always seeking the best and brightest across project management areas, business, marketing, sales, and continue to look forward to grow exponentially here in Charlottesville. Love the county, right? Love the UVA kind of mindset, and love the people around here, right? So there's great opportunity for us to continue to grow, contribute more to the county through salaries and taxes and so forth. That kind of keeps the wheels spinning, right? So
how do you plan to use, or do you plan to use SBA to grow? Or did you just use the SBA to get where you are now?
No, we're still involved with programs, right? So like the Valley program that I mentioned earlier.
And what is that?
So it helps with international expansion, okay. Right? So I still think there's opportunities for us to work with the SBA here locally as it relates to maybe driving more opportunity to maybe attract more talent into the area, maybe stronger alliances with the more established tech companies of Charlottesville and in the county to grow our footprint. I think that Charlottesville can kind of be maybe the next Raleigh or the next Silicon Valley years to come. But there's great opportunity and a great lifestyle here in Charlottesville for people.
And one of the things I want to point out with that, as a company like Punch2Go is doing, because they're growing and they have UVA right here, a ready resource, the internship programs that are available that those students can come in and work and assist, and then they get to see the best talent.
That's right.
And when they see the best talent, they take them, and that keeps that pipeline feeding, and that's where those internships become a critical factor of companies that are trying to grow and not have to go through the interview process and say, is this the right person for us? And that they actually get to see these people working. They're young, they're talented, have ideas. And that's just a real potential opportunity that lots of times small businesses don't take advantage of.
And just speaking about like the internships, great students, obviously, we have a lot of fun with our interviews, right? So we invite a number of them, maybe 8 or 10 people in to join, you know, to come join us, you know, as an intern, maybe a future hire, right? And we put them through some fun due diligence exercises. Collectively that they work on together, and we kind of get to see who kind of leads, who becomes the leader of that pack, right? Or who's focusing on what areas, whether it's analytics or development or kind of marketing. But leveraging the great programs, you know, here in the Commonwealth is pretty fantastic, especially if they're leveraged correctly.
Did you use SCORE? SCORE is one of the parts of the SBA, correct?
Yes, sir. It's the retired executives. It's another entity that can be assisted with counseling. Lots of times, SCORE works with startups. You know, people really thinking about, I want to start a business. That's typically where they put their energy. Most
so
of the time,
you were beyond that when you got to Charlottesville.
That's correct.
So back to you, Carl.
That's what SCORE's role is, just like the Women's Business Center. That typically works with women, mostly micro businesses. And then we have a veteran business outreach center, which is totally focused on veterans.
Carl, when we change administrations in Washington, D.C., and we mentioned it earlier about how sometimes government purchasing or sales, you know, shut down for 15 days. But when the administrations as a whole change and their budgets change, does that change the funding for the SBA? If one administration says, support SBA, and so you're, you know, do you get more dollars then? And another one says, chop the taxes, cut that department. Does that change you and who you can help?
You're correct. All agencies are impacted depending on which administration comes in, what their focus is, their agenda. And we understand that it's just like any business entity. When you come in and you're setting yourself up, you could be impacted by things that change, and administrations can do that. If their focus is, example, healthcare, then we know that's where the dollars are going to flow into those agencies that are in healthcare. If it's to build up defense, then the dollars are going to flow into defense, and other agencies are going to get less money. And so we have to adapt based on what the focus is of that administration at that point in time. And that's no different than what we tell businesses every day that are doing work with the federal government and things like that. Said, don't put all your eggs in that casing, because it's going to change when the administration changes. And that's why I always say, and that's why I give Punch2Go tremendous credit with their doing international, because 40% of their sales are international. They created a buffer zone to protect themselves for the ups and downs and markets and that. And as I always tell people, you know, I always ask people, I said, would you like to do business in California? All the hands go up. Yes, I'd love to do business in California. I said, great, you can go international much easier, and it'll be a lot less money, because California's the most regulated place in the world.
So It's about two minutes left. Carl, what part, for those who are listening, a few seconds on a new business, what part of SBA should they be interested in? And businesses who are existing, who haven't really paid attention to the SBA, what part should they jump on?
Okay, a new business thinking of getting started should look to SCORE or the Women's Business Center or the Veteran Business Outreach Center of a physical contact point. Our website is excellent at sba.gov. It has a lot of really good information to help businesses move forward. If it's a existing business that's looking to go, that's finance options. That's where we can assist. We can also assist with the business plan, growing from there. And then the other thing is dealing with that. If they're looking to go into expand new markets, and like what Punch2Go did, they could potentially go after research and development dollars.
And Brady, what would you like to tell people in the last few seconds about Punch2Go?
We got a huge addressable market. Again, really, you know, happy to be here in Charlottesville, looking to grow. Anybody who's looking for great opportunities, look at punchouttogo.com. Do check out SBA. I appreciate everybody for listening in today.
All right. And thanks to you both for being here.
Thank you very much.
Next week, we'll be talking about Central Virginia tourism. Please come back and listen. Thanks, everybody.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC-LP, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Engineering assistance was by Mike Friend. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SeavillePodcast.com. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC-LP Charlottesville.